Everyone, this podcast is brought to you by Global Shop Solutions ERP software. Simplify your manufacturing by scheduling a demo at globalshopsolutions.com.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Upset Swings NBA Draft Podcast, the podcast of the highest ceiling. I'm your host, Bryce Hendricks, joined always with the great Stone Hansen and the wonderful Cooper Klein. And the next in our series of guests, the great Jake Weinbach. He's at Jay Weinbach NBA. He's hosted the Keep It in a Buck podcast, and he also writes for Hoops Habits and Behind the Buck. So lots of work out there. We're a big fan of his. Jake, my friend, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I'm very excited to dive into this team. The Bucks are a team that I've enjoyed watching for a while. You know, obviously, 2 years removed, or I guess, how would you say that? One full season removed from a championship, and still technically for at least the next week or so, the reigning champion. So there's something to be said there. Obviously, that banner flies forever, but they are looking to kind of get back to that and win another ring. And I guess the first question is just, how would you describe their season, Jake? Obviously, there was a bit of up and down. There was some injury stuff, and especially in the playoffs, I felt like injury stuff kind of hit hard. But just in general, you know, coming off that high of a championship, how do you think they handled this season?
Yeah, obviously, it's a disappointing exit to lose a game seven in this series that you think you could have won. But if we're being honest, I think most Bucks fans would agree with me that if Chris Middleton was healthy, they likely not only beat the Celtics in that series, but they move on to and repeat as NBA champions. That's my take on it. I think most people's take would be on that. But, you know, I'm proud of this team for forcing a game seven. Giannis Antetokounmpo was absolutely incredible. I mean, he really proved that he's the best player in the world right now, you know, as a two-way player. But the team battled hard. I don't think they can overreact this offseason. I think they keep the core together and you continue to enhance the supporting cast behind Giannis, Chris, Drew, Brooke Lopez will likely be there again. So it's about enhancing the supporting cast this offseason. And now that they have a first round pick that they haven't used since 2018 when they drafted Dante DiVincenzo with the 17th pick, they can use this pick to strengthen the supporting cast for both the present and the long-term future.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned Giannis, and I think I just want to take a second to sing his praises a bit. You know, you got that jersey back there behind you. People can't see this as an audio medium, but he has a jersey back behind him, Jake does. And yes. I think he will be looked back upon in about 10 years as one of the greatest defenders ever. I still think his defense is somehow underrated. I think, like you said, he proved he can be the best player in a championship. There were those questions, you know, before the 2020-2021 season, there were those questions of, can he be the best player on a championship team? We had seen the bubble go poorly for him, and it felt like the Heat kind of got the best of him, but I mean, he was the best player on a championship team, and he did it mostly on his back. Chris did not have a great final series. You know, Drew Holiday had been kind of in and out. It was Giannis was the guy. So, Jake, if you want to take a second to also just kind of sing the praises of Giannis, you know, what you think he can be as he continues to grow his game. But then also, what do you think a team around him to maximize him should look like?
Yeah, Giannis. It's truly incredible of what he's been able to accomplish throughout his career so far. He's only 27 years old. He's already a two-time MVP, NBA champion, defensive player of the year, five-time All-NBA, I think, five-time All-Defense. So, you know, there's so much room for growth still where he's at, and I already think he's the best player in the world right now. But in terms of building a team around him, you've got to have shooters. We've seen it in the postseason, like you said. Teams are going to form that wall and refuse to let him get into the paint near the rim where he's at his best. And so it's about getting shooters around him that can knock down perimeter shots because they'll be open once Giannis attracts all that attention. And we need players that can knock down those open looks. And it's about complimenting Giannis on the defensive end as well. I'd like to see more small ball lineups for the Bucks with Giannis at the five moving forward. And that's going to involve, you know, like, small ball power forwards that can stretch the floor as well. And guys that are versatile and long and lengthy and that can fit Milwaukee's system that they've built around Giannis that excels in transition offensively and protects the paint on the defensive end. So lots to build around Giannis. The future is always bright. The Bucks will always be title contenders with Giannis Antetokounmpo on the team. So there's lots of opportunity for the Bucks here moving forward.
Yeah, and we'll get a little bit into that potential someone who can be that small ball four when we get to the draft stuff, because I think there's a lot of options there. I think that's actually kind of the one like team building thing this team has sort of missed on. They've done really good getting stretch fives, but they haven't really nailed a, other than PJ Tucker in the year they won a championship. But this past season, they didn't really nail that, like the player that unlocks Giannis at the five and allows for this team to really make everything sing. But, you know, Giannis didn't do it alone. And I think Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday deserve their flowers too. I think they are both very underrated in what they do. Chris Middleton is maybe the least athletic, like all-star of my lifetime. I mean, some of the stuff he can do despite having no first step is just kind of insane. I think he is such an impressive shot maker, really good defender. And then Jrue Holiday, for my money, probably the second best guard defender in the NBA, also just gets really underrated. So Jake, what did you think of those two? And do you think they can kind of, you know, for Chris, maybe after this injury may get back to that form, for Jrue maintain this form for, you know, a couple years going to be as the sort of two and three next to Giannis?
Yeah. I'll start with Chris. And like you said, I think he's been one of the most underrated stars, you know, in this league for a long time, just because he's been behind Giannis. But last year in our championship run, Chris was absolutely incredible. I mean, there was a time where Kendrick Perkins called him the Batman of the Bucks and called him, you know, that go-to player, which he is in crunch time, in the clutch. He's one of the best players we've seen. And he just makes it look so easy in the mid-range game. And he's so smooth. You know, and so he's getting older. He's getting on a pretty hefty contract. I think he'll be making close to $40 million, you know, in these coming years. So per year, but I think he can still keep this up and be the second best player on a championship team. Whether Jrue was inefficient, you know, this postseason with his scoring ability, but as we saw on the defensive side of the ball, he's clearly one of the best guards here that this league has ever seen. I mean, he's unbelievable, right? So I think those two guys are just perfect to complement Giannis and this team as they won a championship together. So I don't think there's any argument against that, you know, even as they get older. But I think there's a 0% chance that we trade them this offseason or for the next few years. Because I think, like I said, as long as you have Giannis leading this team, with Chris and Jrue as the co-stars, I think there's always going to be a chance for them to win a championship each year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's almost unfair to call Jrue like a guard defender because he can guard anyone. I mean, like,
he's so versatile
from KD to Tatum to the point of attack, you know, like I'll never forget and when he was with the Pelicans, like him shutting down Dame. I mean, some of the stuff he can do defensively throughout his career, just like, so I think partially because of where he's been, I feel like he didn't really get his flowers as the defender he actually is until they won the championship. You know, there were people in the know who knew, but like, I don't think it became so widely understood that he is one of the best ever do it on that end until really, like I said, that year where they won the championship and people kind of realized, I mean, he was incredible in that series against the Suns. So it takes me to kind of the core that's been built around those three. And right now it's kind of sparse. It feels like obviously there's other guys that have been in the rotation that I don't have mentioned here, but it feels like kind of going forward, Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton are kind of the go-to kind of two guards to play in that lineup. And then one of Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, or they have Serge Ibaka on the roster still, if there's some belief in him. It's just, I guess, what do you think of that kind of, the core, and you can mention other guys too, that they're kind of building around those top three guys. And what do you think needs to be added to that to make it really sing and get this team back to the championship?
Yeah, so let's get into the supporting cast, right? So let's start with the two stars in the roles. So Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. Pat Connaughton will have a $5.7 million player option this offseason, we're expecting him to decline that because he deserves a raise after all he's done throughout our championship run. And he had a career year this season. So re-signing Connaughton will be a priority. But we're in the luxury tax, and it may be tough to offer him a big contract. But he deserves what we gave Grayson Allen, which was a 2-year, $20 million deal. He deserves around that range, which was almost double than his $4 million average salary that he made this season. And so re-signing him will be a priority. He's one of our stars in our roles. Just like Bobby Portis, Portis will have a $4.5 million player option this offseason. And obviously, he's worth almost triple that. And so we're hoping to sign him to a big long-term deal. We have his bird rights, so we can offer him the most and exceed the salary cap to re-sign him. But again, luxury tax would be a huge component of the decision-making from our front office and ownership. Brook Lopez will be on an expiring contract next season. I assume that we'll keep him and run it back for one more year, and maybe he'll come back after that on a more cheaper deal. Brook Lopez is still a very underrated part of our team, especially our defense with his length and his ability to cleanse the paint. Grayson Allen, he played very well in the Chicago Bulls series in the postseason, but disappeared against the Celtics. And he was a liability defensively, and it's just, we can't have that happen. He really cost the Bucks on that side of the floor. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on the team next year or past the deadline. And then Serge Ibaka, who we acquired at the trade deadline this past year, he was just acquired to be insurance for Brook Lopez, who was coming off back surgery. So I don't expect him to return to the team this year. He'll be a free agent, but we'll see about that. And yeah, there's not many heading into free agency. There's not many options for the Bucks because of the luxury tax. Like I said, it's going to really affect their decision making, and we're really going to be targeting vet minimum deals. We'll probably try and keep Wesley Matthews and Javon Carter, who will also be unrestricted free agents, on short deals like that.
Yeah, and I think that does take me to sort of the 24th pick. And something we've talked about with good teams we've talked about on this pod in the past is that it's really important to hit on picks like 24 or picks in the second round or grabbing the right UDFAs, because it's very important to have cheap contributors. If you're a team that's going to have, the Bucks have three max guys and they have some other guys they're paying real contracts, and then the rest of the roster is vet minimums, and you're never ever going to hit on, all the vet minimum. Like the Bulls were the ultimate example this year, right? Where it's like they had seven guys on veteran minimums and they hit on none of them. They were all really bad. So it's just kind of an example of like, it can be hard to hit on vet minimums, but you have to hit on young contributors who can really step in. But before we get into guys like possible guys to add, I did want to ask, do you think like what do you think the likelihood that they actually keep the pick at 24 is, and what are, like, if they were to look to trade it, are there any packages that make even a little bit of sense to you?
Yeah, there's definitely a strong possibility of trading 24. Last year we were all excited to have the 31st pick, and we ended up trading that for two late second round picks. And so there's always going to be, when you're a championship contender, you don't need young prospects. There's always going to be that strong likelihood of trading your late first round pick. But, I hope they keep it this time, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think the tough thing is, you mentioned not having a ton of flexibility cap-wise. And I don't know who they would, like, unless they just think Brook Lopez's back is, like, kind of gone, maybe he's the matching salary in some sort of deal. But other than that, I mean, you're not going to attach 24 to any of the valued guys they mentioned. And they don't really have any contracts with guys who aren't super valued to really trade away to match money. So,
So if they did trade the 24th pick, it likely would be to offload a hefty contract. Maybe Brooks almost $14 million expiring contract, or George Hill's $4 million contract.
Yeah. George, Hills is the one that seems most likely to me. But even then, it's like, do you really have to attach 24 to trade 4 million? Or it could be like 24 and George Hill to trade back to 31 or 32 or something like that. And then you're kind of at that type of spot. So there's some options, but you know, we're a draft pod. We like to assume that they're going to keep the pick and talk about who they might take. So Jake, you mentioned you wrote about a few guys thinking realistically at first, before we get into dream selections, who are a couple guys that stand out to you as potential picks here at 24?
Yeah, there's lots of intriguing prospects in this deep pool of players in this draft. And so to start, most realistically, I think guys that I look at are Santa Clara's Jalen Williams, Ohio State's EJ Liddell, Arizona's Dalen Terry, Marion Beauchamp from G League Ignite, Duke's Trevor Keels, Duke's Wendell Moore, Kansas's Christian Braun, and I'd say Baylor's Kendall Brown. There's a bunch of other guys as well, but those are the guys that stand out to me. There's definitely more that are possibilities. I know Kennedy Chandler, I'm not really a big fan of, but he's out there. Walker Kessler's out there that I don't like. Some prospects that I'm not so high on, but there's definitely a lot of guys out there and they'll have plenty of options. Maybe some of those top guys that are lottery projected fall, but there's a lot of guys that could intrigue me as potential fits for the Bucks.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned sort of like getting a four who could let Giannis play at the five, who's big enough and long enough and can help protect the rim. I think there's two guys that stand out to me. One, you mentioned EJ Liddell, I think could really do that. I don't love his all-around defense, but his rim protection is awesome. For a 6'7" guy, he can shoot. I think he can kind of do some connective passing. Like, I think he's a guy. And then the other one who stands out to me is Jake LaRavia from Wake Forest. We bring him up in a lot of the pods. We're talking about teams in this range because he just, as Coop puts it with him and Marjon as well, like, they're just such obvious, like, NBA players, right? Like, they shoot, they pass, they cut, they play defense. Like, they just do all these things while being at a prototypical wing size. LaRavia is a little bigger than like Beauchamp is and can play the four. He's strong. I think measured in a legit 6'8". Very just all around great bet if he's here at 24. I think he is maybe the guy most likely to play early in his career if the Bucks were to draft him. Stone, are there any names that stand out to you as kind of potential realistic picks here?
Yeah, there's the two that stand out to me are both Jalen Williams, both variants, if you want to say it that way. I think the Santa Clara Jalen Williams, I think brings a guy like Chris Middleton that I think can be moldable on a night-to-night basis in terms of what you need. Like, we've seen that with Chris in the past where he's a scorer some nights that they need him. He's more of a secondary playmaker. He's the primary at times for stretches and games. I think Jalen Williams, the Santa Clara one, can be that. Obviously not probably to Chris's level, but in sort of a smaller version, a smaller role, more condensed role of that, I think he can provide that. And having more guys that are that versatile, that can play different roles on different nights, I think is really an awesome thing for the Bucks, especially with Giannis there, because all the versatility really stems out from him. The other Jalen Williams is sort of that, I think he can play next to Giannis, and I think he's a good enough shooter, even though it's not going to be probably on high enough volume to be out there and play with Giannis and be a really good passer, a really strong defender, even if it's not as much out on the perimeter, but you have Giannis there to do a lot of that. And he could play the five, play backup five, just more size and gives them another sort of look as a big that I don't think they have in terms of the skill set that he brings.
Yeah, I really like those names. Coop, is there anyone that stands out to you?
You guys have stolen all my names. You know, there's only so many win now type wing forwards. Especially in this range. I think there's some more later and some earlier, but in the late first, that's kind of it. I think somebody who they could do a little bit of a now and later, like a baseline now and then some cool upside later. I'd love to see them go after Bryce McGowan's. I think the scoring upside, just incredible. But then you also, oh, maybe you can come off the bench and score, see if you can get him into rhythm, play him with different lineups, see what he can do. And then if it doesn't work out, you just work on developing him and hope that you can turn him into a real contributor down the line. I think that the Bucks are kind of interesting because while you want to get so many cheap contributors for them because they're a contender, because of the stars they have such a baseline that I think they can afford to go after guys like McGowan's and other more project-y type guys. Because 2-3 years down the line, I think there's a real chance that they're still contending. And if they hit on a real project like that, they take another step up even. It's you're investing a little bit right now and you hope that one of these guys is playable right now, maybe not to put you over the top, but then down the line, maybe a guy like McGowan's can put you over the top.
It's the Jordan Poole bet. Right?
Yeah, it's like, basically. Yeah. It's like, oh, we can hold on to him and he can be something. And then, oh my God, this guy's a contributor to a real team. I think McGowan's is that guy in this range for me.
Yeah, McGowan's is someone I was going to bring up. Jake, back to you. Just sort of, if you could pick like two guys who would be your absolute like dream selections here, just the guys who you want the Bucks to be targeting, who would they be?
My dream selections are EJ Liddell and Dalen Terry. And why? Because I think the Bucks need to maximize their championship window right now with their star trio in their prime. I think you have to get a guy that can contribute right away and also have room to grow. And I think Terry's one of those guys that can earn rotational minutes right away and grow as a point guard, not just as a point guard. He played point guard at Arizona, but also as a wing. He's 6'7" with a 7-foot wingspan. He has tremendous defensive upside, which the Bucks love. And he's a playmaker. In the postseason, our biggest needs were another switchable defender and another playmaker, a decisive playmaker. And I think Terry will fit in there just fine. And then EJ Liddell is by far my most dream selection for the Bucks. He's a guy that he was a star in college, but he won't be a star in the NBA, but he'll be one of those guys that'll be a star in his role. Just like Bobby Portis, just like Patty Connaughton, Liddell, I think, would immediately be a star in his role off the bench for the Bucks. I think he'd be essential for small ball lineups. I think he'd be great as a rebounder, a screener, a guy who can stretch the floor. He's actually an efficient shooter for a 6'7" guy like that. I just think he'd be, you know, even more than a Swiss Army knife for the Bucks, a connector, and that's kind of what they need and what they're looking for.
Yeah, I really like Liddell here. I'm like slightly lower on him than some, but he's the type of guy who in Milwaukee specifically, like I'd reach on my board for him. And there's always teams like that where the team fit is so perfect that I'd reach on my board for someone. And Liddell to the Bucks, because like you mentioned, like I really do think like the upside for this team is if they can add a PJ Tucker type, you know, and that's kind of your sell with Liddell is that he's different but similar in that he can stretch the floor and do something really above average on defense. So that would probably be, I mean, him or Laravia are the guys for me here. I just think getting one of those guys who can play the four, who can shoot, make good rotations at the rim. I think Laravia is a better bet to defend on the perimeter than Liddell, but I think Liddell is the higher volume shooter right now. So it kind of depends what you're looking for, but those two guys are the two guys who maybe even the only two guys who I think you bring in early and you're like, maybe they contribute and are helping us win in year one. Cause even other guys I like I love Marjon, right? Like I'm not confident he's like huge. I'm not confident he's going to play a huge role for this team early on. I think Liddell and Laravia, specifically because of what they do on defense, could play a huge role. So, Coop, who's kind of your dream guy here at 24?
I don't want to sound like a broken record. I think that guy would be Jake Laravia for me. I think that he's slightly younger than EJ. I think there's a little bit more upside as a connector. I think he has more skills than EJ does. I think EJ is maybe better at what he does, but I don't think that he is as well-rounded as Laravia is, with as much upside to grow. And it's that floor and ceiling concept with Laravia. He's young, good at basketball, pretty solidly athletic. Just a go-to connector forward who can play with every single one of your lineups. Whereas EJ is maybe, he's slightly more limited, stronger strengths, weaker weaknesses, more solid role, but I think Laravia is more what the Bucks should be looking for if they're going for a win now piece.
Yeah, I love both those. Stone, are you kind of with us? Is there someone else who you'd have as your dream guy?
As far as dream guy, I mean, it really, if someone like in my more top tier were to drop, and I won't go through all of the names, but I mean, like Bryce McGowan's makes a lot of sense in terms of value and where he is on my board. That's like just really good value, I think. But in terms of like the Bucks specifically, I think Marjon just makes a lot of sense as a Bucks guy who can be like a sort of this extra rotation piece that they get right off the bat, but also has maybe more upside than people are giving him credit for. So I think that's a good mix of the two. And at 24, I think that there's a good shot that he's still around.
Yeah, you mentioned
one more dream guy with all the dumb things that are out there. Tari Eason could fall to this range, which I think would be very wrong. But if the Bucks get Tari Eason, then I don't think they're stoppable. I think they become an unstoppable force. I think he can fill a role for them in year one and then grow and fill out the offensive game, settle into an interesting defensive role. I think the amount of defensive playmaking that you get from Tari Eason and Giannis Antetokounmpo playing on a basketball court together is just completely unfair. Just unprecedented levels of athleticism on both ends. You know, maybe year one, he's just spotting up a little bit, being a screener, but then can play that four role next to Giannis. Can also probably play some three. You can play, like, I don't know. I love Tari for every single team in the NBA, but if you put him on the Bucks, that's completely ridiculous.
It's cool. I do like Tari too, but I definitely think he's a lock to go in the teens. He should, but if he fell,
he should. Yeah,
at 24, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, he's. I mean, it's Coop and I's specific version of basketball nirvana, right? Where it's like two of just. I mean, Giannis is the best defensive playmaker in the NBA. You know, and Tari Eason is the best defensive playmaker in probably the last three drafts, I would say. I mean, maybe Mobley last year, but even Mobley is mostly a big, so it's a little different. I mean, Tari Eason had an insane steal rate despite playing in a defense that did not promote steals. Like that was not a product of scheme. That was a product of him having incredible hands, nuts length, a great first step, and being uber aggressive. I'd love that fit. You know, we talked really fast about ballers, and I always overlook some of these guys who might be in this range because they're just higher on my board. If Blake Wesley was here, I'd love that fit. The shooting's a question. It would take him time to develop, but I think developing him as the Jrue Holiday understudy would be fascinating. I think he can play that, not quite that level of defense. He's not that strong, but be that point of attack hound. I think he can eventually be a really good pick and roll player. He's super slithery while also being really athletic. And then Jake, you mentioned Kendall Brown. Do you want to go into like really fast what you think of him and what you would think of his fit with the Bucks?
Yeah, I think Kendall Brown is just a great defensive asset as a wing or as a forward type of guy that can play small forward and power forward and just unlock those really good, valuable small ball lineups. But that's really all I see his role playing for the Bucks, not a big one. So not too high on him for the Bucks specifically, but I think whichever team gets him is going to really value him and make the most out of his potential.
Yeah, I think he could be an interesting developmental piece here as just a the tough thing is it's just you really want four shooters around Giannis, and I don't know if he's ever going to shoot at a high enough level, but I think he's a top five passer in this class, and I think he can really, really make defensive plays. I mean, his high school tape as a defender is nuts, and then I think he was a little limited by the no middle at Baylor, but I think he's going to be great. So there's a couple names. We'll talk just really fast about some UDFAs. Stone, are there a couple kind of undrafted guys that pop to you?
I feel like I bring it up for a lot of these like contending teams, but Vince Williams Jr. I think is just a really awesome fit for the Bucks. Another guy who does a little bit of everything, none of it at really an elite level, but I think that as a two-way guy, he's just a really good bet to be like a solid player. And I can't really understand why people have him like as an undrafted sort of guy. I think there's too many things he does well off to be in that range. Another guy that I like sort of in this undrafted guy, if he were to fall outside of the second round, would be Julian Champagne. I think that as a guy who can, we bring him up like on every pod at this point, but as a guy who can really like, you know what he does at this point, but I think he really fits with the Bucks and gives them another wing forward who can really just space the floor, and you can never have enough of those guys, especially if you're trying to surround Giannis.
Yeah, Coop, is there anyone that pops to you?
Somebody who I would debate taking at 24, but could slide into the second. I don't know. I don't think he'll go UDFA, but maybe if they bought a pick or something, I would love to see David Roddy on the Bucks. Just the weirdness of his position is made so much easier by the amount of elite defenders on the Bucks, and specifically playing in a front court with Giannis. Your position doesn't fucking matter when you play with Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's just as simple as that. If you can defend and do something, Giannis can do whatever you can. He's basically just a team building hack. And then the offense is there. There's, some upside, I think, because he's still pretty young despite being a junior. Someone who could, I don't think will go undrafted, but could. I don't think he'd declare if he were going to go undrafted. But Caleb Houston out of Michigan, rotationally solid, can shoot the three ball. That's kind of it. Has some interesting connective passing, but pretty simple. And then just two, I have to put them in there because it's part of my brand. AAC guys, I think Jariah Horn is just a 6'7", stretchy, shooty four who can defend bigger forwards, just kind of slot in and do stuff. And then if you want to get a guard who can be a point of attack guy, have a little bit of offense to him, probably just a two-way guy, but Michael Weathers out of SMU, defensive playmaking machine at the guard spot. So
I think for me, there's only one guy I'll bring up, and that's Tevin Brown, who I really like, and I think will go undrafted. I think is a very specific fit. But Coop and Stone, you brought up great names, and we could sit here forever talking about undrafted guys if we felt like it. But Jake, with all our guests, before we get out of here, we like to ask them what their kind of dream scenario is, and the Bucks only have one pick, so if you wanted to pick a guy at 24 and then maybe just a direction for the offseason, you could just however you want to take this. What's your kind of dream scenario for the Bucks?
The dream scenario for the Bucks this offseason is to re-sign Pat Connaughton, re-sign Bobby Portis, re-sign Wesley Matthews on a veteran minimum deal, re-sign Javon Carter on a veteran minimum deal if you can, and then draft EJ Liddell, Dalen Terry, or Jalen Williams at 24. Or anybody else that falls that's projected, in the lottery or in the teens, if they fall, I'd be content with those guys as well. I'd also be content with guys like Jake LaRavia if those other three are off the board. Like I said, there's so many intriguing prospects that you can't really go wrong with here at 24 because the draft is so deep. But that would be my dream outcome for the Bucks to do this offseason and sign more, guys on veteran minimum deals. Jeff Green would be great for the Bucks if he declines his player option with the Nuggets. But yeah, just enhancing the supporting cast with those guys around our star trio and increasing our chances to get back to where we belong as NBA champions.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a team that will, for the next 5 years, be, I mean, my championship favorite, probably. I think next year, it's probably between them and the Clippers. For me, the Clippers are healthy. And going forward, I think it's going to be pretty similar because Giannis is just, like, he's young for a superstar. And he's someone who's proven he can do it at the highest level. You know, this isn't the Suns, led by 37-year-old Chris Paul, or even the Clippers, led by constantly unhealthy and 32, 33-year-old Kawhi Leonard, Paul George types. It's like, it's a 27-year-old superstar, one of the best the league has ever seen, and who's locked in here. I mean, they have him signed for, I think, 3 more years on the Supermax, and seems like he's not going anywhere after that either. So just absolutely great stuff here. And speaking of great stuff, give all Jake's stuff a follow and a listen. I'll be down in the description. But Jake, just let the people know where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, guys, follow me on Twitter at JayWeinbachNBA. I write for Behind the Buck Pass and Hoops Habit. And then I'm also the host of the Keeping It a Buck podcast show through the Believe Network. So follow me on social media. Stay tuned to my coverage. And guys, thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank you so much for coming on. And we'll tag all this stuff below. Big fan of his podcast. I like to follow one podcast from every team throughout the season. And Keep It a Buck was the one I was following for the Bucks. So always just trying to keep myself somewhat locked into the NBA, even though I end up so focused on the draft. So great podcast, great writing. It'll all be down below. For Coop at Ali_Oop_Coop, for Stone at Report_Court, for me at Bryce_14. Give us a like, rating, review, all that fun stuff on your podcasting app of choice. This has been the Upside Weeks NBA Draft Podcast. We hope we're ceiling. Thank you.
We once again like to thank our sponsors at GlobalShopSolution.com. Simplify your manufacturing and schedule a demo today at GlobalShopSolutions.com. Thank you.